Followed them to the subway connecting Baxter Street and Merton Road. And you struck them with your knife, didn't you?
No, it's a lie. It ain't true.
Howe struggled, didn't he, Stevens? It was several seconds before you sunk your knife into his back, wasn't it?
No, I tell you, no.
It wasn't. You mean you stabbed him immediately?
No, you're trying to trap me. I never stabbed him. I'm innocent, I tell you. Innocent!
It's time for you to take your place on the jury as Bristol Myers, makers of New Ban Roll-On and New Ban Aerosol Spray Deodorant, Clairol Hair Care Products, and Ipana Toothpaste, invite you to... consider your verdict.
Gentlemen of the jury, in leading evidence for the Crown, I propose to give but a brief outline of the case which the Crown will present against the prisoner at the bar, David Stevens. We shall demonstrate how Michael Powell was stabbed in the back in a subway underneath a London thoroughfare. At the time of this murderous assault, a third person was in the subway, not 30 yards distant from the place where Powell was killed. For reasons which will soon become obvious, this eyewitness was not able to identify positively the victim's assailant. But she will nevertheless contribute testimony which, after you have heard all the evidence, will lead you to the inescapable conclusion that Powell was murderously and brutally assaulted by the prisoner. The results of investigations carried out by the police, stories of the relationship between these two men, all will demonstrate the certainty of our case that Stevens plunged a knife into the back of Powell in order to kill him. The Crown does not think it necessary to elaborate further on the background of this case. That being so, with the Court's permission, I'll call my first witness, Miss Vera Laxted. Miss Laxted, did you know Michael Powell?
Yes, sir, I knew him very well.
How long had you been acquainted with this man?
About 5 years, sir.
You were very good friends?
Yes. Why don't you ask me? I'll tell you. I was in love with him.
Yes. Well, am I correct in saying that in January of this year, your friendship with Powell was, shall we say, temporarily suspended?
Yes, it was.
Why was this?
He'd gone to jail. He got a month's hard labor.
I see. And while Powell was in prison, you met Stevens?
Yes. I knew I was a fool. I shouldn't have had nothing to do with him, but I was upset and lonely.
You say that you knew you shouldn't have had anything to do with the prisoner. Now, why do you say this?
Well, everybody knew he was a carver.
Just one moment. This expression is strange to me. What is a carver?
I was coming to that, my lord. A carver is an expression used by members of the underworld. It denotes someone who is known to wield a razor, either for extortion or for revenge.
I see. Does witness agree with this definition?
Yes, sir, I do.
Carry on, please.
And now, Miss Laxted, how did you come to meet Stevens?
Oh, he started coming to the pub where I work.
And where is that?
Baxter Street.
And that's in Canonbury, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Now, you say you met Stevens in January.
That's right. He came into the Bunch of Grapes. He was with someone I knew. A fella called Maurice Stark.
Yeah, what you going to have, Maury?
Half a mild.
Two halves, please.
And a drink for yourself.
Right, thanks.
And what are you doing in your spare time?
Hey, Everard, don't talk to her about time. Her boyfriend's doing time.
So funny about
nothing,
that.
Nothing, dear.
Oh, bad luck. What are you going for?
Drunk and incapable while on the charge of his truck.
That's a good one. I thought he was one of the boys. Drunk and incapable while in charge of a truck.
Time's getting whippery. Come on, yeah. Time's getting whippery.
Look, why don't you have a bit of supper with me? Murray won't mind pushing off, will you, Murray boy?
What do you expect me to say? I can take a saddle in when I'm not wanted. Would I mind pushing off?
And that's how I started going out with him. I may be a barmaid, but I'm respectable, see? I didn't know what he was like. Then I found out.
When and what did you find out?
He soon started telling me.
Telling you what, Miss Axton?
He started telling me some things that... Well, I've been brought up in a tough district. I'm not pretending that I'm a blue-eyed innocent. But I never knew such things went on.
Such as?
Slashing a man's face with a razor if he don't pay his gambling debts.
Did Stevens tell you he was engaged in such an activity?
Yes, he did.
And you continued to be his companion?
Yes, well, what could I do? I went in fear of my life. He used to come to the pub to my flat. He used to tell me what he'd do to me and to Mark if I didn't go with him. I was afraid of him.
And so out of fear, you continued seeing Stevens?
Yes, I did.
Until Powell came out of prison. You stopped seeing Stevens then?
Yes, of course I did.
And now, Miss Daxton, were you with Stevens on the night of the 17th January?
Yes, I was.
Did not the prisoner threaten the life of Powell?
Yes, he did.
How did this come about?
I told him and the doc, that Mark was coming out of jail on the 27th of January. He got a week's remission.
Want another cup of coffee, kid?
No, thank you. Look, I'm going home.
Okay, let's go.
I'm going home, not we're going home.
Aye, what is this?
I just heard from Mark. What with remission, he's coming out on the 27th. Look, I want to end it now. I'm not going to see you again.
That's what you think. You think I'm going to allow this mug of a truck driver to come between you and me?
Don't you talk about my Mark like that.
Listen, Vera, I'll be very patient with you. My pals tell me I'm screwy. Well, screw you or not, you got under my skin. Haven't I treated you right?
Now, listen.
No, you listen. Hey, don't call me the carver for nothing. You better keep out of my sight.
Look, don't you start your threats all over again.
I'm telling you, girl, I want you and I'm going to have you. Even if I have to do things to your truck driver to get you.
And what happened then?
I didn't want to hear any more. I jumped up and walked out of the cafe.
From that day on, did you see anything of Stevens?
Only when he'd come in the pub. But I wouldn't serve him. When he tried to talk to me, I'd have nothing to do with him.
Thank you. Now, when your friend Michael Powell emerged from prison, did you discuss with him your relationship with Stevens?
Yes, I was afraid. I was afraid the way David Stevens would stand in the pub and look at me. Sometimes he'd take his razor out of his pocket and strop it in his hand, looking at me. He gave me the creeps. But I never thought he'd do what he did. Not kill my Mark. I'd have done anything to have stopped that.
Thank you, Miss Laxton, for your testimony. No more questions.
Miss Laxton, the picture you have painted is not a complete one, is it?
I don't know what you mean.
You have told the court that you met my client in January. Where were you living then?
In a boarding house.
And 2 days after this meeting with my client, you moved to a block of luxury flats.
Well, what of it?
Nothing at all, Miss Laxton, except... Who paid the rent?
I did. Who do you think?
How much was the rent? Well, Miss Laxton, how much rent did you pay?
£12 a week.
And what were your earnings as a barmaid? Come now, what were your earnings?
£14 a week.
That didn't leave you much of a financial leeway, did it?
My lord, I object to the manner with which counsel is attempting to impugn the character of witness.
Not a bit of it, my lord. My purpose in putting the question is to demonstrate that the young woman was not coerced into a relationship by means of threats.
Yes, I was.
Did you possess a silver fox fur?
Yes.
Given you by my client?
Yes.
Do you not possess a wristwatch given you by my client? In fact, is that watch not now on your wrist?
Yes, it is, but
you continued to live in this luxury flat until the very day Michael Powell left Brixton Prison.
Yes.
Why did you not leave after that scene in the restaurant you so vividly described? The scene where you told my client you wanted nothing more to do with him. Why did you not leave the flat?
There didn't seem to be any point till Mark came out.
I submit, Miss Laxton, that you were fully prepared to accept the material gifts bestowed upon you by my client.
He made me take them.
I submit that this story of a sinister byplay with a razor is the story you gave to Powell when he came out of prison.
That isn't true.
You needed an alibi for those jewels and fur. And all the other things my client gave you, is that not so?
I told Mike how I got them.
Did you tell him why? Did you invent some story of accepting presents under duress?
What I told him was the truth.
Indeed. That is all.
I now call Sergeant Kenneth Lester. Sergeant Lester, You're a member of the murder squad of the CID at Scotland Yard.
Yes, I am.
I refer you to the night of the 15th March. You called to a subway in Canterbury, linking Baxter Street and Merton Road.
Yes. We received a signal from Canterbury Station that a man had been found stabbed to death. I, in the company with the district surgeon and constables Conley and Foster, arrived on the scene at 11:50 p.m. He was lying face downwards. There was a knife in his back. According to Dr. Todd, he'd been dead about 20 minutes.
He was known to the police as Michael Powell.
That is so, sir.
Other than his conviction for drunken driving, was anything else known against him?
Nothing to his discredit, sir. In fact, because of the Canterbury probation officer's report, he received the minimum sentence. The child he ran down was severely injured. It was his first appearance in a police court.
I see. Now, I understand that there was a witness to this murder.
Yes, sir.
We'll not elaborate on that further, since the lady in question will be called upon to testify. As a result of your investigations, you were led to the man now being charged.
That is so. You see, despite an intensive search, we could find no one who bore any animosity against the deceased. No one, that is, other than Stevens. We knew him to be a man of violence. We discovered he had uttered threats against Powell, and his alibi for the time when Powell was murdered was unsatisfactory.
Will you elaborate, please, Sergeant?
I asked him, where were you just after 11 o'clock last night?
Me? Why? What do you want to know for?
Didn't you see the morning papers? A man was found stabbed to death in Baxter Road subway.
What's that got to do with me?
That's what I'm trying to find out. You see, the man was somebody called Michael Powell.
Powell?
Yes. Do you know him?
Met him once or twice. Took his girl out while he was in stir. Hey, you don't think I had anything to do with it, dear?
I asked you where you were at around 11 o'clock last night.
I was at the Astra Billiard Hall.
And what time did you get there?
At 9:30.
And what time did you leave?
1:30. Why don't you go and ask the governor? He'll tell you.
All right, I will. But I shouldn't try and leave town if I were you.
That's right. Persecute me, arm me, just because I got a record.
And you've checked his alibi with the owner of the Astra Billiard Hall?
Yes, I did. Mr. Morris, I'm checking up on the movements of David Stevens last night.
Oh, him. Look, I don't want to get involved in anything he does.
I'm sorry, Mr. Morris, but I'm afraid it might be necessary. You were here on duty last night?
Yes, I was.
All the time?
Well, I got here about 9 o'clock and stayed right through until we closed about 4:30 this morning.
Did you see Stevens come in?
Yeah, came in about 10 o'clock. I remember him asking the time.
What time did he leave?
About 2 in the morning.
And why are you so sure?
He asked me to check his watch against mine. Thought it was a bit fast, but it wasn't. We both had 2 o'clock dead on.
Did he play last night?
He had a couple of games in the beginning, but the big match of the evening started at 10:45 between Flash Alley and Joe Cohen.
And how long did that go on for?
Oh, there were about 36 frames, till about 1:45.
And you're sure Stevens was there all the time?
Well, I suppose he was. I didn't see him go.
In fact, he could have left unobserved and returned to the billiard hall.
Quite easily, sir. There was an intense snooker game between two local rivals. The subway was only 5 minutes' walk. He could have left unobserved, waited for his victim, struck him in the back, and returned.
You've not found anyone willing to swear that he was with the prisoner from, say, 10:30 to 11:30?
No, sir.
So, in point of fact, as far as the police investigation is concerned, the prisoner has no watertight alibi.
That is so, sir.
Thank you. That is all.
And so the court adjourns in the trial of David Stevens for the murder of Michael Powell.
For how long have you been connected with the CID?
13 years, almost.
Have you ever known anyone connected with the underworld described as Slasher or Carver? I repeat, have you ever known one of these characters wield a knife?
Not until this case.
I find your answer as precipitate as it is presumptuous. Can you swear on oath that you know Stevens killed Powell?
Of course I can't.
Then please be a little more circumspect with your answers. Now, you asked my client where he was around 11 o'clock on the night Powell was so brutally struck down, did you not?
Yes, I did.
He told you that he was at the Astra Billiard Hall from 9:30 until 1:30.
Yes.
The Astra Billiard Hall is in Hawks Road?
Yes.
I have a report here from the municipality which tells me that the thoroughfare known as Hawks Road is lit by electric standards all through until dawn. Do you agree with that?
I know the area, yes.
I have sworn testimony from a number of snooker enthusiasts saying they were at the Astra that night and that there was an audience of something like 132 men. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Out of 132 human beings, you couldn't find one man to say that he saw my client leave the billiard hall?
With a championship match on, it's not surprising.
From that snooker hall to the subway is a straight, well-lit thoroughfare, as you have just heard. Correct?
Yes, it is.
Did you find anyone who could claim to have seen my client?
Your client, sir, is well-versed in the art of being unobtrusive.
I regard your comment as impertinent, Sergeant. Just reply to my question. And so, Sergeant, it comes to this, does it? That because Stevens acquired a passion for Fowles' girl, you are willing to hang him?
Nonsense, sir. It's because he threatened the deceased and he had the opportunity, and because his alibi is highly suspect.
That is all.
I now call Ingrid Stockton. Mrs. Stockton, you own a restaurant on Ponders Road.
Yes, I do.
And you reside at 36 Archer Street.
That is so.
It is your custom to close your eating establishment after the cinema performances are ended, approximately 11 p.m.
Yes, that's right. There's only one movie nearby. They usually come out about 10:20 p.m. There weren't many coming for a snack. I closed up at 11 o'clock.
You closed up before or after 11?
Well, just as I was walking to the subway, I hear St. Margaret's Church strike 11.
Thank you. Now, in order to reach Archer Street, you always take the subway, do you not?
Yes, I do.
As, in fact, you did on that night of the 15th March.
Yes.
And it was in this subway that you had a most unhappy experience.
Oh, yes, it was very unhappy. I was walking to the subway from Merton Road end. What's going on down there? Hey, stop it, you fools! Grown men fighting like that. Stop it, I say! No! No! Stop it, you fools! Oh, it's not... Please! Mother! Please! It was terrible. He was lying there. There was a knife in his back. He tried to say something, poor boy. And then he gave an awful noise, and I knew he was dead. I rushed up the stairs into Archer Street, and there was a policeman. I can't forget it. I hope to one day.
A terrible experience for you, Mrs. Stockton. Now, you saw them struggling in the distance, and then the man slumped to the ground.
Yes, I did.
And that was at approximately 5 minutes past 11.
That's right.
Thank you. That is all.
Mrs. Stockton, did the police ask you whether you could recognize a photograph they showed you?
Yes, they did.
Was it a photograph of the man now in the dock, my client?
Yes, that's right.
In fact, the face was completely unknown to you.
Yes.
Thank you. That is all.
A point of re-examination, my lord. The struggle you witnessed in the subway was some 50 yards distant.
Yes, it was.
The subway is rather dimly lit with what is known as anti-fog lamps, is it not?
Yes, that's true.
As you approached, the assailant ran away.
Yes, he did.
So it would have been impossible for you to have got a clear description. Certainly impossible for you to have seen the murderer's face.
Well, it all happened so quickly, I can't say.
Thank you. I now call Mr. Malcolm Fraser. Mr. Fraser, you're the manager of the Wellington Knife and Steel Works.
I am.
You examined the knife used to kill Powell. This knife here, marked as Exhibit J.
I did.
Did your company manufacture this knife?
It did. It is a common or garden kitchen knife. We sell them in large quantities.
There's a serial number, FQ1798473. Is that of any significance to you?
Yes, sir. It does tell us that it was sold in the Canonbury district sometime in the last 6 months. But over 100 shops and bazaars stock this knife. It does not tell us which stock has sold it.
I see, but it was sold in Canterbury.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That is all.
No questions?
That concludes the case for the Crown, my lord.
Does the defense wish to call any witnesses?
Thank you, my lord. Yes. With the court's permission, I would like to call my client, David Stevens. Mr. Stevens, were you in love with Miss Laxted?
Yes, I was. And she's lying when she said I threatened her with a razor. I worshipped her. I wouldn't harm a hair in her head. So help me.
In fact, you worshipped her to a degree where you installed her in a luxury flat, gave her clothes and jewels, and asked nothing in return?
Asked nothing in return? I wanted to marry her.
On two occasions, you met the now deceased Michael Powell. Did you threaten him?
Threaten him? Of course I didn't threaten him. Just told him that she was too good for him, that's all.
You are an expert snooker player.
Yes, that's right.
And it was natural for you to attend the needle snooker match between Flash Harry and Joe Cohen?
Of course it was. I had 20 quid on Flash. He'd have won two if he didn't go in with the...
Quite. Mr. Stevens, I wish to place on record that I am horrified at some of your antisocial activities in the past. In fact, I hesitated in taking this case. I did so because I believe in your innocence.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, have you ever wielded a knife as a weapon of injury?
Never, I swear it, never.
And you were at that Astra billiard hall from 10 o'clock until 2 a.m. the following morning?
Yes, I was.
Thank you.
Stevens, have you ever been a respecter of human beings?
I don't know what you mean.
Haven't you always got your way with the aid of sharp steel?
It's a liberty.
You killed Powell because you desired his woman.
I did not kill
him. You entered the billiard hall and asked Morris the time to establish your alibi.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When you left at 2 a.m., you asked the manager to check watches so that the time of departure would be indelibly printed in his memory.
I thought my watch was fast, that's all.
You chose a night to waylay and kill Powell. A night when over 100 snooker enthusiasts would be so engrossed in the game as to not observe your mission of murder.
What are you trying to say?
I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. You followed him to Baxter Street and into the subway, and then you struck him with the knife.
It's a lie. It's all lies.
Powell struggled, didn't he, Stevens? It was several seconds before you sunk the knife in his back, wasn't it?
No, I tell you, no.
It wasn't. You mean... you stabbed him immediately?
No, you're trying to trap me. I never stabbed him. I never. I'm innocent, I tell you. I'm innocent.
And so, my lord, gentlemen of the jury, there can be no doubt in your minds as to the guilt of the prisoner at the bar. He had the motive, his desire for Powell's girlfriend, the opportunity, seized when he slipped from a crowded snooker hall. There was his attempt to create an alibi. A very unsubtle attempt, if I may say so. And above all, you must bear in mind that this, the prisoner at the bar, is a man used to getting his own way. A man accustomed to carrying a razor and using it. No, my lord, gentlemen of the jury, there is no need to look any further than the prisoner in the dock.
What are these so-called facts against my client? That he threatened Powell. And from whom does this information come? From a girl who willingly accepted presents, and expensive ones too, from the accused. From a girl who was frightened to tell her boyfriend of her relationship formed whilst he was in prison. And bear this in mind, my lord, gentlemen of the jury, no one, not one single person, has been able to place my client anywhere near the scene of the crime. Not one single person has been able to say he even left the billiard hall. He may have a record for previous violence, but do not let this confuse you and blur this particular issue.
Well, you have heard all the relevant facts in the case. Would you say that David Stevens was guilty or not guilty of the murder of Michael Powell? In just a moment, we shall bring you the verdict recorded in the actual trial upon which this dramatic presentation is based.
We find the prisoner at the bar guilty of murder.
Bristol Myers, makers of new Volt toothpaste, hope you enjoyed tonight's presentation of Consider Your Verdict, produced by Michael Silver. On Friday evening at 8:30, you're invited to listen to Medical File, another great dramatic series also brought to you by Bristol Myers. So, goodbye until next Tuesday, when it will be time once again to take your place on the jury of... Consider Your Verdict.